Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, if you will, please. Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. If you recognize these passages, you know they have to do with the life of Noah, the life of one of the most, one of the stars, if you will, of the Old Testament, one who has given us an example that we should have been looking at all of our lives. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, we read, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth." We often teach the story of Noah and the ark to our children, and so we should, finding out about the vengeance of God, finding out about so many things about God. We ought to look at the man Noah as well, his obedience, his faith in what God said. The story also contains great lessons for adults as well. This is the true story about how God saved man. Man, his thoughts were only evil continually, and so he became a liability before God, and God determined to kill mankind. It's illustrative for us today as well. The principles that we find in this story of salvation are the same principles God uses today. We have needs. We have sin in our lives. God calls us to do certain things about that sin. And man makes a choice. Are we going to obey God or not? Are we going to receive redemption or not? Let's look at this true story about man's salvation and note how it parallels the story of our salvation today. The first thing that we need to note is that Noah was saved by grace. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Verse 7 reads, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But in verse 8, we read that in the midst of all this sin in the hearts of man, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was saved by grace because God had favor on Noah. All the goodness of Noah does not mean that he was never without sin. No, it means that Noah was obedient to God. When God gave an order to Noah, Noah decided how he was going to do that thing. The presentation of God's grace to Noah was through a covenant. Genesis 6, verse 18. "But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." The situation in our day is that all have sinned. Romans 3, verse 23 assures us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." When God tells us that man is condemned, it's not that certain are condemned and others are free from condemnation. No, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a sin problem in this generation, and all generations till Jesus comes. Our sin merits eternal punishment. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It's a serious problem. But we are saved by grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God had favor toward us. God believed not that we merited it, but that he wanted us to have, by some like or dislike, by some decision that he made in his mind, that man was to be offered salvation. We're saved by grace. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 8. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. By grace are you saved. Just like Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus, or Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We remember what Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, and we should be so happy that he doesn't end that passage there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Noah was saved by grace. That is, he didn't deserve it, but God gave it to him. And so are we. We are saved by the favor of God. Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, deserving diverse lusts and or serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If we haven't discovered anything yet, it is that we are saved by grace. We didn't deserve it. God gave it to us. We are not saying it was without certain contingencies, things that we had to do in order to please God. But none of us deserved eternal life. It's through the unmerited favor of God sending his son Jesus that we can have salvation today. God sent Noah a plan. You build an ark. Mankind can be saved, but you have to build an ark. Through your sons, mankind is going to be built up once again. But you've got to build an ark. That's the plan. In the middle of the night, some 2,000 years ago, an angel came and spoke to some shepherds. Over there in that town of Bethlehem, there is a Savior, Christ the Lord. From time to time, people were spoken to about that plan. That plan is you believe on him and do what he tells you. That's what we must do. Just like Noah had to build an ark, get on it and stay on it for about a year in order to be saved, we must do the plan of God. Were it not for that great act of grace, we would not be saved. God has done his part in the plan of man's salvation. This is the grace of God. Some people say that God did everything that we need to do. But that doesn't mesh with what the Bible says. Because we've been given commandments, told what we must do, and that it is contingent on our salvation. The presentation of God's grace to us today is through the new covenant of Jesus. Before Jesus was crucified, he established the Lord's Supper. And he said to those that he was supping with that night, Matthew 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins." To have our sins remitted, there must be a plan, and God had to give that plan and give his Son. That's the presentation of grace. Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 15. "But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once again into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" From dead works to serve the living God, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Maybe you didn't pay attention to that particular passage until you heard the words eternal inheritance. In order to obtain that eternal inheritance, some things must be done. And those things that must be done are Jesus going into the Holy of Holies and presenting his blood. And then we, by faith, we have a part to play in it too. We have to apply that blood to ourselves. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." For the remission of sins. Recognize that particular phrase? Well, you should. It's used more than once in the scriptures. We find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 as the Apostle Peter is telling the world about the grace of God. He's telling them that God has a plan for them, even though they've murdered the Son of God. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Something you have to do. Something that you have to do in order to obtain this grace of God. Things that we have to do. And there were things that Noah had to do. He had to get up every day and began to build this massive thing that I don't know if he had any experience in building something that big or not. A boat. It wasn't a boat, really. It was a raft with sides and a top. And so it was that he had to get up every day, look at God's plan, and just go about fitting everything to get together. Dads, you ever build something Christmas morning that you've never built before? This kit that some wise someone gave to your child, and it's left to you to put it together. Look at the instructions, and it's in some language that you've never seen before. And if it's in English, it's so small, the glasses are just not doing it. You have to go to the printer, and hopefully you can blow it up somehow in order to fit everything together. Frustrations. I wonder how many Noah had just doing what God told him to do. Did God make it easy? I don't know. But I know that people opposed him, and he had to deal with that. Noah was saved by grace, and he was saved by faith as well. Noah had to have faith that God's word was true. Noah had never seen a flood. It had not rained yet, so it had not flooded yet. He had likely never seen rain. Noah had never seen every animal in the world. He had never seen a structure like the one God told him to build. Noah had perhaps never even seen a boat. Don't know whether he did or not. But God spoke directly to Noah, and he trusted in the word of God. That's faith. God said it, therefore I believe it. And what he said, that's what I'm going to do. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that is, what he heard from God, he began to obey. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. People have the wrong idea about faith today in general. Something that makes you feel good or you feel good about. There are times in the scriptures where having faith with regard to what God said doesn't cause you to have good feelings. Think of Noah here. I've got to do what? Noah's hundreds of years old already. Think about Abraham. Go and take your son, your only son, you know, that son of promise, and take him to a place that I'll show you and sacrifice him to me. There's no feeling good about that. God told him, and Abraham believed that he was able to raise Isaac up, that his God was able. And yet, he gets up in the morning, he grabs all of his things that he needs and his son, and goes to Mount Moriah, ties him up, grabs his knife, and is ready to slit his throat. Until the angel says, no, there's nothing in there that's feeling good. Faith is not like that. Faith is about trusting. Faith is about obeying. Faith is about realizing that something is true because God says it's true. Our faith, we've never seen our souls, but we believe that we have them. We've never seen the stain of sin on our souls, but God says it's there. We've never seen God wipe off that stain with the blood of Christ, but that's what he does. We've never seen heaven. We've never seen hell. We've never seen Satan. But just as Noah trusted in the word of God that, you know, in just a little while there's going to be rain. And that rain is going to cause a flood. And you're not need to get on that boat, for want of a better word. That ark, you're going to have to be on it. With all of these animals, you're going to have to do it in order to be saved. God speaks to us today through Jesus, Hebrews 1 and verse 1. So we put our trust in the word of the resurrected Savior. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We may not like what we hear, but if we have faith toward God, like Noah had faith toward God, we believe it and obey it. We are saved by faith. It's said plainly and simply, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith. That is, as we are on our journey in this life, we do so according to the Lord's instructions. Remember, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Through faith, and that's God's instruction. It's not something that we work up within ourselves, but God tells us what to know and what to do. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's that word, believeth. It has that ETH ending for those of you who have the King James Version. It means continuous action, continuing to believe. You may or may not know this, but the word believe and the word faith have the same root in the Greek New Testament. The word for faith is pistis, and the word for believe is pistuo. The same root, it has the same idea. So many have the idea that faith means one thing and believe means something else. It's not true. They mean the same thing, only one's a noun and one's a verb. So, the ones that believe, continue to believe, those are the ones John chapter 3 and verse 16 is speaking to. Noah's faith was not a deedless faith. According to those that believe and once saved, always saved, that you don't have to do anything in order to be saved. You don't have to watch out for your parents. You don't have to give to the church treasury. You don't have to do anything. In fact, you can believe you're saved and then live a life of profligacy. As long as you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. Once saved, always saved. It's sad that those that believe that most likely were never saved in the first place because they didn't obey the gospel. They didn't do what Jesus said and his apostles in order to be saved. I'm so happy that Noah's faith was not a deedless faith. That God told Noah what to do. And what did Noah do? He started making plans. He started sharpening his saw. He started getting materials together. And he put together an ark so that you and I might be here today. We are dependent upon Noah's faith. Noah heard the word of God and he did it. Our faith may not be a deedless faith either. James chapter 2, verses 14 and following. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Many people have a useless faith. Useless. Won't help anybody. Won't serve anyone. Won't speak the word of God to anyone. What kind of faith is that? It's a dead faith. If one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? A question that doesn't need to be answered. Nothing. It profits nothing. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Noah was also saved by obedience. And I can hear the religious world around us getting up in arms by saying, no, that would make it a work salvation. Therefore, you deserve your salvation. Obedience is not required, but that's not what our Bible says. Genesis 6, verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did Noah. Genesis 7 and verse 5 says the same thing. 7 verse 9, 7 verse 16, that Noah did what God commanded. Noah did what God commanded for the purpose that God commanded it, to be saved. If he was going to survive the coming flood, Noah had to do what God told him to do. And it wouldn't have done if Noah said, I heard you, Lord, and then gone to his easy chair and began doing the crossword puzzles. It simply doesn't work that way. For him to be saved, he had to do what God said. This is obedience. Obedience. 1 John 5, verses 3 and 4. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If there's a passage that there's just no room to understand it any other way, it's Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. Speaking of what Jesus learned experientially and comparing it to what we should know, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. We should learn obedience too. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Let's turn it around a little bit. There is a certain class of people this passage refers to. Those that obey him. To those that obey him, Jesus Christ has given something. That is everlasting life. To no other class has he given this particular thing. Others are going to receive something else. But those that obey him, those are going to receive eternal salvation. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Some people like to turn it around, at least in how they teach it. He that believeth and is saved shall be baptized when convenient. But that's not what it says. That's what they want people to believe, that you can put it off and do it whenever. They notice that a number of people haven't been baptized, so they have a baptismal service. But that's not what the Bible says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's something we must obey in order to be saved. Just as Noah obeyed for the reasons that God told him to obey, so must we. We obey in order to be saved. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remission of sins. Do we need that? Yes. In order to be saved, our sins must be remitted. And so we do what God says in order for them to be remitted. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The apostle Paul, then Saul of Tarsus, was told by a man of God by the name of Ananias, this is what you must do in order for your sins to be remitted. And so that's what he did in order to receive the remission of sins. Noah was saved from destruction. After having obeyed, we look at the record, and the record tells us that Noah was saved. He was above the water, was not destroyed with the rest of the earth. Those that were with him inside the ark, inside what we call the ark of safety, they survived. They lived. You are their sons and daughters. Without that obedience, we would not be here. Genesis 7, verses 21 through 23. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. That's who survived. Those that got on the ark at God's command. Noah, he built that ark in order that we might be saved. 1 Peter 3, verse 20 refers to that event wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Our salvation from destruction. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What kind of destruction can we expect to come? 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 7. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God of ungodly men. In other words, just as sure as the old world was destroyed by water, there is coming a destruction by fire. If you can believe in the word of the Lord in those ancient times, you can believe in the Lord and his word for the future. There is destruction coming. John writes, Revelation 21, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The first resurrection was that of Christ. We have part in that resurrection through baptism. We can be saved from destruction today as well. Knowing that the fire comes, we ask Jesus about what we can do in order to be like Noah, be within that ark of safety. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Did you get it in there? The punishment will come to those that don't obey the gospel. And so it is, we invite people, and we invite people again. Obey the gospel. Back in the time of Noah, he preached to them for decades that there was a coming flood. They needed to be on the ark, but they refused. They were destroyed on that day. There will be perhaps millions, perhaps billions, that will not be saved when this time of fire comes. They will be on the outside looking in, into those that are in Christ, envying those that are being taken up by Christ to take them to their home. There will be many that do not know God and that obey not the gospel. And so we know we must know God. We must obey the gospel. This very hour, Noah has taught you many things. Noah plus the New Testament. He has taught you that you must be obedient. He has taught you that salvation is by grace. You don't deserve it. Neither do I. Neither does anyone. Noah did not. And anyone who approaches God approaches from the sense that God is perfect and we are not. That God is the Savior and we need a Savior. We learn from Noah that obedience is important. If he had not done what he did, we would not be here today. There would be no salvation. There would be no Christ. Today, if you hear his voice, we need to do all things that we've been commanded through the New Testament. If you have failed to be baptized for the remission of your sins this hour, don't let this opportunity pass. We have no promise of tomorrow. Just as in the day of Noah, they did not know when the rain would come. Today, we don't know when the fire will come. We have to be ready. If you're not ready, make it so today. This hour, this moment, you don't have any promise of tomorrow. If you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, or make it known that you've repented of some sin because you've once been baptized, but you've started to walk the wrong way, let that time be now. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?